Shalom Rabosei. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Chav Gimel, and we're here three lines up on the bottom of Chav Beis Mabeis. We've been talking about Shaul HaMelech, and we have a little bit more about Shaul, then we'll get back to our to the topic at hand in terms of the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash with the Truma Sadeshin. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, three lines up on Chav Beis Amad Beis. Shaul, why did Shaul get punished? Why did he lose the kingship, right? And if you look at Rashi, right, Nenash, what was the punishment? Lavo lide davar sha'olav nital mamono mimenu malchus. Right, again, Shaul was obviously punished for not killing Agag immediately and leaving him alive. But again, why did he even get to that point, says Rashi? Why did he even get to that point where Shaul was faced with a scenario where he may lose the kingship? Because he was mochel on his kavod. The Torah says that we have to have fear and awe of a king. King is not allowed to be mochel on his kavod, because as you can very well imagine, right, the whole institution goes up in smoke if people don't honor and fear the king. So Shaul, a couple of times we see that people were making fun of Shaul or saying derogatory things of Shaul, and he let it go. So the first case is Shenemar uvnivli al amru mayoshein huzev yavoz vayvazuhu v'lo heviu lo mincha vahika macharish. Right, again, the people kind of abused him, and Maharishi, he didn't say anything. He was quiet. And then it says later, Vayal Nachash Hamoni Vayichan Al Yavesh Gilad. That story tells basically how people were upset at those original people who made fun of Shaul, and they wanted to kill them, and Shaul said, no, leave them alone, meaning Lechor, they were Chayav Misa for being murdered by Malchus. But Shaul did not kill them. And again, he was Mochel on his kavod, and that was inappropriate. Remember Rabbi Yochanan, any Talmud Chacham who does not take revenge like a snake, again, that's the idea that a snake kills for no purpose, right? A snake bites and kills, but usually without intention of eating, let's say, a person. Like obviously, if it kills an animal to eat it, that's different, but meaning the snake is considered to have taken revenge, right, when it bites, because again, there's no benefit from revenge. Same thing, the snake, there's no benefit from just biting and leaving. So, but fascinatingly enough, the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham needs to take revenge. Right? Any Talmud Chacham who doesn't take revenge is not a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Right? Like, see if the Pasuk says, Lo Zikom Velo Zitor, Espinei Hamecha Ve'after L'recha Kamocha. Right? You cannot take revenge. And so the Gemara says, you're right. Ahu B'mamon Hudichtiv. Right, that's talking about money. The Tanya, like a London Abraisa, Ezu Hinekima, right? We have two words, Losikom and Lositor. Right, both of them mean don't take revenge, right? That's the word in English. But what do they mean? So what's Nekima? What's Nekama? Ve'ezu Hinetira, and what is Netira? So Nekima, what's that? So Amarlo, if a person says, Ishileni Magelcha, if a person says, lend me your not your knife, your whatever it is that you reap wheat with. It's a reaping instrument. Anyway, lend me your magel. Amarlo lav. He said no. Lamacha, the next guy said tomorrow. The next guy, the next day, the other guy says, Amarlo shileni kardumecha. Lend me your axe. And Amarlo any mashulcha kederach shalosh shalani hishaltani. Right? No, he said no. You didn't lend me your sickle. That's the word. Thank you. You didn't lend me your sickle. I'm not lending you my axe. Zui nikima. That's nakama. That's taking revenge. Ezri nitira. What's nitira? Amarlo. He said shileni kardumecha. Right, or kardumecha, he said, one guy says, lend me your axe, amalei, and he said to him, lo, no. Lamacha, the next day, amalei, hishilani chalukecha, the other guy says, lend me your shirt, and amalo, heilach, he said, the other guy says, actually, take it. And then he says, eini kamoscha, I'm not like you, shaloi shaltani, who didn't lend me the sickle, so zuhi natira, meaning one of them is not lending because someone didn't lend to you, and the other one is lending it to him, but reminding him, oh, see, I'm better than you are, right? Because you didn't do this for me yesterday. But either way, there's an isser here, right? The Torah says not to take revenge, not to, to take revenge on somebody. So what's the deal here? The Talmud Chacham has to take revenge. It doesn't otherwise it's not Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara, the Gemara is basically what the Gemara assumes here. Rashi says, is that in economy, that's only by, what did we say with, that's only by money cases. But if a person himself, right, a person has tzaras or whatever, as the Gemara is about to say, tzara de gufa, right, if a person has tzara de gufa, so if he has personal tzaras or personal pain, so then he is allowed to take nekama. The Gemara says, really, tzara de gufa, lo, really, it's not a problem, right, to take nekama. If you've got personal pain, someone stabbed you in the arm, right? That's not, it's, obviously that's a little dramatic, but that's you're allowed to stab him back. Right? Well, that's not, Pasuk says, right? You shouldn't do that. Right? A different psukim, right? Anyway, so I'm thinking of a different pasuk. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein. Never mind. Take that back. Let's start again. The tzara d'gufa, you're allowed to take nekama if someone hurts you physically. Right? V'atani v'lent nebraisa hanelov and vein on ovin shomen charpason vein meshivin osim ava v'smechum b'yisurim aleh makas v'omer v'ovav k'tzeis hashemesh v'gurasa. With all these people who are Nelvin, or they get insulted, but they don't insult anyone back. People who are, again, basically that's kind of the same. Ozecherposim is also, they get insulted, they don't say anything back. Osin me'ava esmechon yisurim, they do mitzvahs with ava, they're happy, they don't mind, they have no problem with yisurim, rachman al-tzlam, with suffering, because they have emuna, that this is gamzul l'tova. So about them, Kosh Baruch is very happy. Right. Even though a person, again, this is the idea, the person doesn't say anything back when he's personally hurt, so that's a tremendous mila. So why would you say that you are allowed to do that? So the Gemara says, "Lolam dinoket lei belibe." Really, no, that's a Talmid Chacham should keep it belibe, in his own heart. For the Garashi, "Va'achalinkom nikmaso b'kiyum ha'mishpat yishtuk." But if someone else wants to go take revenge for him, so then he should be quiet. So that's what it means. The Talmud Chacham shouldn't say anything if someone's trying to avenge the Talmud Chacham's kavod. Right? Very often you'll see Rachman al-Tzlan, lo aleinu, we see attacks on rabbis fairly often. And it's usually not the rabbi who comes to his own defense. Right? Usually it's his congregants, it's his talmidim, etc. The Gemara here says that that's okay, that's allowed. Talmud Rava, the Gemara continues still and says, call him Avir al-Midosov. Mavir lo alko pishav, a pretty well known phrase that if someone's mavir al midosav, right, he kind of he overcomes his own midos, right? He doesn't go and try and get back at somebody. So midi kineged midah, Kosh Baruch Hu does this as well, and takes away all of his averos. So apparently, you should, the Talmud Chacham should leave things alone and not have anybody take revenge for him. As Gemara says, the mefaisule umefais. No, that's the case where someone, the guy who wronged his fellow, came to ask mechila. Right, and then once you're mochalim, so then you should be mochalim. Then you should be ma'aver av midosav. Right, then you should overcome your midos, even though you might be angry, and right? You might really want to, you know, lash out at this guy. If he comes to beg mechila, so then you should give him mechila and not do anything. Okay, but that, in that case, right, again, even a talmid chacham, right, should not. If the guy doesn't come to beg mechila, so the talmid chacham is allowed to keep it in the back of his mind, right, and keep it in his heart, and have other people kind of take quote unquote revenge for it. Okay. All right. Either way, back to our topic at hand. Mahi Motzi and Achos or Shtayim. We remember if there was a lottery and they didn't do rock, paper, scissors, the Kohanim would stick out their fingers and they would count and they'd pick some high number way above the amount of Kohanim. If there were like 20 Kohanim there, so they'd pick, I don't know, 246, and they would go around counting fingers. And the Mishnah had said you can count, but you can stick out one or two. So the Kohanim says, well, Hasha Shtayim Motzi and Achos Mibaya. Well, obviously, if you can stick out two, you can also stick out one. So Rav Chista, lo kasha kam bari kam b'chola. So Rav Chista says, no. Really, you're supposed to take out one finger. But if you're sick, for whatever reason, again, the Kohanim could have been older. Right? If they couldn't, stick out both fingers, so then they're allowed to stick out two. Now, in Echanami, is that a mum? So we'll have to discuss that. But right, either way, this is not a kasha, this is a bini chusa, this is a proof. Achas motzian, shtein ein motzian, really you should stick out one finger, not two. B'medvar b'murim b'bari, that's by a healthy person. Avo b'cholda, but someone who's sick, so afilu shtein motzian. He can even stick out two. Again, we're talking about someone who's sick, not someone who has a headache, right? I'm talking about someone who can't really stick out one finger, right? And whenever he tries to stick out one finger, he sticks out two. Okay. Vayachid motzim shtayim, and people who are by themselves, right? If you have a kohen, Rashi says, who are actually sick, right? He's hanging around, but he's not feeling well. He's not in the group of kohanim. Right? If you look at Rashi, b'cholin v'inin yoshvin im shav b'nei adam, shochvin yoshvin levadam, they're sitting by themselves, and they want to be included in the lottery, so they stick out as many fingers as you want, because again, the idea is that you shouldn't count the same person twice. Right? We talked about it yesterday, about not counting people, so we're counting fingers. So, right, again, if you count the guy in the corner, so obviously he could stick out his entire hand, and you're not going to count more than one person, so that's fine. Vein monin lehen elachas, right, again, as we said, we only count one of those fingers, right, if the guy is in the corner. Vein monin lo elachas, right, and the Gemara says, one second. Really, you only the coin it sticks out two fingers. You only count one. Right? You're not allowed to stick out the middle finger, the third finger, right? The middle finger or the thumb. Because people who are schemers. Right? Again, if it's getting towards the end of the count, right? Again, the coin realizes that he's going to be off by one, so he'll try and just stick out two fingers. Right, well, let's say the thumb and his forefinger, right, to try and see, kind of skew the count, right, to kind of make sure, it'll land on him. But here, and this is the key line, if he does stick it out, then we do count it. But Godel ain't a morning low, but the thumb we don't count for sure, because that's for sure not part of the thing. Right, and not only that, he gets malchus for that. Right, but the Maisa, again, it seems to imply that if he did stick out the middle finger, you would count that as well as the regular index finger. So Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean that you would count the middle finger and the index finger twice. It just means you would count them together as one. Okay, my pakia, what does it mean? Something that's a pakia. Again, we said that the pakia gives him lashes. So Amarav Madra. It's a Madra. So Gemara says, my Madra. What is that? It's Amar Papa Matrika Detaya. It's a whip of an Arab. The Psikreshe, whose head is split. And Lamaisa, it hurts a little bit more than the standard whip. Okay. Rabbi points out, Reish Hava Amina, I used to say that Hadithan, that we said in the Mishnah, this is already in Shkolim, right? Or if you remember, Ben Bavai, Mamona ala Pakia, that Ben Bavai was in charge of the Pakia, Amina, I said that Psilta, originally thought he meant he was the guy in charge of the wicks for the menorah. Can it sound like another Mishnah, Mibloi, Mechnise HaKohanim, okay, whatever, either my blay is the worn-out clothing of the Kohanim, Mechnise is the pants of the Kohanim, Umehemneim is the belts, Mehen Hayu Mafkin, Mehen Hayu Madliken, right, that's what they would use as wicks, and they would light them, right, in the menorah. So Gemara says, Kim, the Shmaile Latanya, then I heard this Brisa, right, that we just quoted, right, that you're gonna get whipped by the guys in charge of the pakia. So Amin Amai pakia Nagda. So it must be that a pakia is not the wicks or whatever. Must be that it is a whip. Okay, now the next part of the mission said, "Ma'aseh shayu shneim shavim v'rotzin v'olim v'kevash." Right again, if you remember, the Kohanim was a story when the Kohanim were running up, and one of them shoved the other guy off the ramp and broke his leg, and then they started doing the lottery for who would get to do the Trumas Hadeshen. So Tana Rabbanan with the Rabbisa, fascinating, terrible story, and really, really illustrates the status of Am Yisrael at this time period. So Tana Rabbanan with the Maisa Mishnei Kohanim. There's a story about two Kohanim, a little bit different than what we saw in the Mishnah. Shayu Shneim Shavim V'Rotin V'Olim V'Kevash. Again, they were racing up the ramp. Kodem Echam Eam L'Toch Arba Amos Shal Chaveiro. One of them got within four Amos. And V'Notel Sakin V'Tokel L'Libo. And the other guy took out a knife and stabbed him in his heart and killed him. Rabbi Tzadok Amal Sa'ulam. Rabbi Tzadok got up at the top of the Ulam. This is not the Ulam of the Beis HaMikdash. Mistamar actually points out that it must have been outside where they announced so people could hear. Amar, and he said, Achenu Beis Yisrael. He said, Am Yisrael, Shimu, listen. Harei Omer, the Pazuk says, Mi Matzal, Ki Yimatze Chala Ba'adama V'yatzuzi Kenecha V'shavtecha. And the Pazuk about Egla Rufa. Anu Al Mila Havi Egla Rufa. Who do we bring an Egla Rufa on? Alayir Al Azaros. Do you bring it on the city? Or on the Kohanim, many of the Azaros literally means the courtyards, but the Kohanim who guard the courtyards. That's the reference over here. Many who we bring a negla rufa for? Many, and as Rashi Tosos points out, that is it Tosos? Yeah, many. It's obviously not. The Maisa, he was just exaggerating. Right, if you look at Tosos over here, the bottom one. He points out that it was just obviously no, they're not bringing a negla rufa. They saw who killed him. Right, a negla rufa is we find a dead body. Right. You don't know who killed him, so you bring an Egla Rufa. So anyway, he was trying to exaggerate to try and make everybody upset and realize how terrible it was. Go call the Amid Bechia, right? Everybody started crying. But Aviv Sheltinok, and the father of the baby, now the Kohen who got killed was not a baby, right? There's a certain age requirement for Kohen to be in the Beis HaMikdash, but fascinating that it calls him a tinok, right? A kid, right? Again, obviously, Rachman al Slan, lo aleinu, we have feeling that right now, but a parent who buries his child, right, no matter how old he is, right, Mustama feels like he's just a little kid. And the father, again, you can see from this story, this part of the story is kind of sickening. You can see exactly what was going on in this time. The father came and found that the boy was still kind of convulsing. And Amar Harehu Kaparaschem, right? He said, this is your kapara, right? meaning that the misa should be mechaper for Am Yisrael. V'hadayin b'ni mefarfer v'lo nitma sakin. And he said, and my son is still convulsing, and the knife, he was so, right, he was so concerned about tum and tahara, right, that he listened, my son is still convulsing, v'lo nitma sakin. That means he's still alive, and the knife has not become tame yet. It teaches that at that point in time, people were more concerned about tum and tahara than people getting killed, than murder. And again, there was a tremendous amount of murder during that time. And Rachman al Tzlan, that again, even through to Beis Hamikdash by his sheni. Okay, that pasuk obviously is in Malachim, right? So that's not talking about that exact time period, but you can see that there was just a complete disregard for human life. So Gemara says, well, Hey Maisa Kadin. What happened first, right? Meaning the story with the broken leg, or the story about the murder where the guy stabbed him in the heart? So Elaim with the Shvichas Damalif. Tell me the murder happened first. So Hasha Shvichas Damalil Takinu Paisa. If you tell me that they didn't set up a lottery because of a murder, so Anishba Raglil Takinu, you tell me they would have set up a lottery for the fact that a Kohen got his leg broken? So for sure not. So Elad Anishba Raglil Kadin. It must be that the Kohen's leg got broken. That doesn't work either, because they came into Takinu Paisa, right, once they did a lottery, so Arba Amos Mayav Itayu. So why would then there have been a race, and why would someone have stabbed someone else? So Ella, rather, it must be La'olam Dishvichas Damim Kadim. It must have been that the murder happened first, to make her suffer a cry ba'amahu. And people just thought, like, that guy is crazy. It's just something that happened. Like, that guy's out of his mind. That's not going to happen more often. Ah, Kevin Dechazi, Afilu Memela Ga'asu Dishakana, Takinu Rabbanam Paisa. But then they saw once it's actually going to become dangerous, right? Again, maybe not to the extent of murder, but a Cohen now is breaking legs here. Okay, at this point, right, they realized it wasn't just one psycho, and they really needed to intervene here and set up some sort of lottery to make sure nobody, you know, hurt anybody else. Amar Rabbi Tzadok Amal Zalim, again, we're going to quote this story that we just had pretty much straight down through Amud Beis and explain what was going on. Again, the story said, he said, Ivey, we have to bring an Egla Rufa. Who should bring it? And if Yerushalayim basa sui Egla Rufa, what Yerushalayim is going to bring an Egla Rufa? It's not part. Yerushalayim is not, does not count. Right, in the cheshbening out of Egla Rufas. There are 10 things said about Yerushalayim. This is one of them. Einu mevil Egla Rufa. Right, never bring an Egla. You don't bring an Egla Rufa. Right, you don't. It's not shaykh. Right. To the halachos. Just again, Yerushalayim is not a Yerusha, because the right, pasuk says Larishta by the Negla Rufa. So the Chorah, right, again, this is according to the Manda Amar, says Yerushalayim was not given over to the Shvatim, right? Obviously, we've seen that that's a Macholka that's broken. Either way, Va'od, and also another reason why you don't have to bring a Negla Rufa here, Lo Nodam Miyika Uksiv, right? You only bring a Negla Rufa if we don't know who killed him. Va'anodam Miyika, but here we know who killed him. So the Gemara says, yeah, like Tosfos explained on Amud Aleph, Ela Kedei LaHarbos B'Bechya, right, to make sure that people would cry, right? He was exaggeration. He obviously did not actually need to bring an Egla Rufa. So the Gemara says, Ba Avishol Tino Kuma Tzoshu Mefar Fer Amar Harehu Kaparas Chem Avadayin Bini Kayim Etc. Lalam Dechashe Kasha Lehem Taras Kelim Yosem Yishichas Damim. Right, that crazy story about the father who was more concerned about the knife in his son's chest than his actual son. So Yimoy Lui said, they asked the following question, Shvichas Damim Hu Dezal Avol Taras Kelim Dekayim Ekayima Odoma Shvichas Damim Dekayim Ekayima Avol Taras Kelim Yidah Chimira. What happened exactly that for whatever reason they started being more careful about tum and tahara than murder? Did murder become like nothing in their eyes, but they had a regular observance of tum and tahara, and therefore murder obviously was below the regular normal kepeda and care for Tomatara, or did for some reason Tomatara become this crazy machmir thing that they cared about even more than murder? So it says Tashma, well, I'll bring a proof from the end of it. Right, the Pasuk says Vigam Dam Nakish Shafach Menashe, right, that the king Menashe killed a lot of people at the end, right? At the end of the Brisa, Shema Menashe because Dam Muda Zal Vataras Kalim the Kaima Kaima. That no, it was murder that just basically had become like nothing in their eyes, and they had a regular, normal appreciation for Tomatara. But since murder was nothing, right? Like you know, like let's say if you had a penny on the floor and a $50 bill on the floor, so you wouldn't even think about the penny, right? So that's what Lachora, what the father was doing, right? He's oh, the Tomatara, the knife. I didn't even think about the fact that his son was lying there. Okay, Rachman Litzlan, lo aleinu. Now, the Mishnah had said that, again, we did Trumas Hadeshen, right? Again, that was a lottery to do the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen was taking a little bit of the ashes on the Mizbeach, dropping it next to the Mizbeach, and miraculously we said that the ground would swallow it up. Now, there's something else we pointed out already, I think I mentioned at the beginning of the parak, something called the Hotzaz Hadeshen, that they would take out the ashes of off the Mizbeach, machlokas between, if I'm not mistaken, Rashi and the Rambam, in terms of whether it happened every day or not, or when it happened, if it happened, just when they needed it, right? Obviously, the Mizbeach was busier than some days than others. If the ashes just piled up, did they take it out when, as necessary, like the garbage? Or was there actually an avoda that they did every single day? Or not an avoda, but did they actually do it every single day, or they cleared off all the ashes from them is back. So Tana Rabbanan with under the Braisa. Upashat v'lavash begadim acharim v'otzias hadeshen. The Kohen takes different clothing and takes the deshen off. Shomeini, that seems like, we hear it, it sounds like, kederach Yom Kippurim, that the Kohen is to change like he changes on Yom Kippur. Shaposhet begdei kodesh v'lavash begdei chol. Right, that he changes out of the holy big day kahuna, and wears his regular clothing. Right, so apparently, you tell me you have to change into regular clothing to do the Trumas Hadeshen. Therefore, the Pasuk says, "Upashat es begadav v'labash begadim acherim." Right, therefore, the Pasuk says he takes off his clothes, he wears other clothes. Makish begadim shalovish begadim shaposhe. Right, connecting the clothing he has to wear during the Trumas Hadeshen to the clothing he just took off. Malahodan big day kodesh, just like he took off the clothing he took off, which is big day kodesh. Afkan big day kodesh. So too, right, he has to wear other big day kodesh when he is doing the Trumas Hadeshen. So Gemara says the obvious question, okay, Imkein Talmud Lomer, Ma Talmud Lomer, so therefore Acherim, meaning so that, well, I don't understand. If he's wearing Bidei Kuna when he does the other Avoda, and he's wearing Bidei Kuna when he's doing the Trumas Hadeshen, so why would he have to change? So Gemara says, Pchusimayam, because Trumas Hadeshen was very dirty, and you wanted to wear Bidei Kuna that were less holy, less kadosh. Maybe they're a little bit worn out. Keep on going. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Acherim v'hotzi limid al kohanim bali mum. No, sorry. No, that. Let's see here. Right, b'chusim. Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. It doesn't continue. I'm sorry. That's the period. Meaning that less quality. Meaning maybe they're a little bit more worn out. A little bit older, perhaps. Okay. Either way, but still big day kahuna. Okay. Now, Rabbi Elazar, Omer, Rabbi Elazar says a different drasha. Acherim v'hotzi, right? You have those two words back to back. So, limeid, what does that teach us? Ala kohan in the pasuk, right? The pasuk we just quoted. Right, so, what does that teach us? Limeid, ala kohan, and bali mumim, shekherim v'hotzi es hadeshen. Right? Fascinatingly enough, Rabbi Elazar says that if you could, a kohen could be a bal mum and still do the hotzah es hadeshen. It wasn't a full-fledged avoda. Amar Mar says, acherim v'chusimeim. It says no. This is again. This is what we just pointed out. But that the Acherim, it does not teach me that like Rabbi Elazar, but it teaches me as the drasha we just said before that that the Kohanim had to wear clothing that was a little bit less nice than the regular ones. Ketana deber Rabbi Shmuel, like Rabbi Shmuel taught in this base medrash. Ketana deber Rabbi Shmuel begodim she boshel bahen kedera l'rabo lo yimzog bahen kos l'rabo. Clothing which you cook a dish for your master, you shouldn't pour the wine in those same clothes for your master. Meaning, right, again, if you're a cook and you're a butler, right, so you're going to change out of the dirty cook clothing, and if you go serve your master the food, right, you're going to wear some nice clothing to go serve your master. So same thing over here, right, to take out the Trumas Hadeshen and get it all dirty, so wear less chashuva clothing, and then change right into the nice clothing, but still the same honorable kavodik clothing. Amar Shlokesh k'machlokas ba'otzah kach machlokas ba'arama. Shlokesh says, the machlokes between Rabbi Tanakh and Rabbi Elazar in terms of whether a Baal Mum are allowed to take out the deshen, right, to do hatzas hadeshen. So Rabbi Reish Lakish says that that's the same machlokas by Trumas Hadeshen, that the Trumas Hadeshen also can be done by a Baal Mum, according to Rabbi Elazar, and Tanakama would say obviously not. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Machlokas Baal Tzar. Rabbi Yochanan says no. The only Machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Tanakama as to whether someone who has a Kohen who has a Mum can do the Avoda, that's by Otsas Hadeshen. But Abu Baharama, but according to, for the Trumas Hadeshen, right, again, that's the little kind of small. Right, that's not the Otsas Hadeshen is the clearing off of the ash, and the Trumas Hadeshen is just taking some of the ash and dropping it on the ground. Right, the Otsas Hadeshen, they took it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Right, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Trumas Hadeshen, Divrei HaKol, Avodah, everybody agrees that it is an Avodah. My time with Reish Lakish, what's Reish Lakish's logic? That it's a machlokas across the board? So Amar Lecha, he would say to you, Yisakadai Tech Avodah, if you tell me that Hotzos Hadeshen and Trumas Hadeshen is actually an Avodah, so Yesh Lecha Avodah Shekshir Vishnei Kalim, right? Can you really have an Avodah that you do with two out of the four Big Day Kahuna? And the Psukim, right? The Psukim of the Big Day, of the Trumas Hadeshen says that the Kohen does it with the what are the two ones? With the pants and the Mechnasayim and the, where is that pasuk? I forget. I think the Avnate, but I could be wrong. Now I have to find the pasuk. All right, well, let's continue flying through. I mean, it mentions only two of them, and I apologize for blanking on which one. So that's Rabbi Reish Lakish's argument, meaning there's no way that if it was an actual avoda, you'd be required to wear all four of them. So the fact that the pasuk only mentions two of them indicates that it's not actually an avoda. Rabbi Yochanan, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? So garich rachmana b'ksones b'mechnasayim, with the ksones is the shirt, the coat, the tunic, as they call it, right? Or the mechnasayim, mechnasayim is the pants, right? Why does the Torah mention those two specifically? You should also wear the mitznefes, which is the head, and the avnet is the belt. But the fact that the Torah only mentioned the pants and the shirt, shall we say, that doesn't mean that's the only thing you should be wearing. You should be wearing all of them. So Gemara says, well, maishna honey. Right, so why does it only mention those two? So Gemara says, midovad. The pasuk says midovad. Again, that's his shirt, right, his linen shirt. Mido k'midaso. Right, that to teach me that it has to be his mida, has to be his size. Right, Kohen can't wear undersized or oversized clothing. Mechnasevad. What does it mean about that? That's the mechnasayim. Right, it's made out of linen. So the kedatanya, that teaches me that the following. The brisa says, how do you know that that's the first thing you wear when the Kohen puts on his big day kahuna? And Amar Zepalik says, "Mechnasivad yilbash al misaro." For Reish Lakish, where does Reish Lakish get those from? Because again, he says that Reish Lakish learns that the specific mention of those two begadim means that that's the only begadim that he wears. So where does he learn those two halachos? That the Kohen's begadim have to be his size, and that he has to put the pants on first. So first of all, mido kamida so midafke rachmana balashon mido. Right, from the fact that it says mido, right, instead of what's the other option here? Says Rashi. Right, kam lemidvashik ksona. Right, instead of ksonas. Right, it doesn't say the kusonas, it says the mido. From the fact that you use the word mido instead of kusonas, or kutanto perhaps, that would teach me that it has to be a mida, it has to be its own size, the proper size. V'shalo yehi davar kodem l'machnasayim mi al b'saro nafka. And he learns it from the word al b'saro, right, that nothing can be put on first. Right, that obviously means he put it on his flesh. Right, he could wear underwear, but it has to be on. The fact that it says he has to put the pants on his flesh, that's obviously would be the first thing that the Kohen would wear. Okay, shkoyach kol the rabbosei. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.